Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's exactly what we're going to be discussing today. What is it going to be? Quantum thinking. What is quantum thinking? Can it make a difference in life? Can we influence life in a very unique manner? If so, does this empower us? Will it empower other people? Will it make a difference in the world? Well, my guest, Diane Collins, is a woman that doesn't hesitate to think outside the box. She's a woman that has studied a lot. Her life has taken her through a lot of different experiences. But more than anything else, she has discovered an aspect of thinking that is being adopted by many people because what it does, as I mentioned a moment ago, it takes you outside of your paradigms that maybe you've had for most of your life, and you wonder why. Well, let's talk to Diane Collins and find out a little bit about this woman who embarked on a very interesting journey that's taking her into environments that she never knew she'd be able to have the chance to explore. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's a delight to be with you.
Diane, what was it for you as an individual that made you feel like you needed to explore a different paradigm of thinking? What were those critical ahas that made you sort of wake up to a different understanding?
Well, as I was growing up, what happened to me, Donna, is that I looked in the world and I was always, you know, I could say I was born to inquire and question. And I looked around and I read the news and I realized there was this great disconnection between the wisdom that we know we could be living, the knowledge that was there in terms of metaphysically and, you know, the more expansive, unified field kind of philosophies and knowledge from ancient wisdom, from all traditions. And I looked in the world and I thought, there's something wrong with this picture. Now, why were we manufacturing weapons to kill people en masse and doing this willfully? That there's something wrong with the consciousness of humanity. And that's really what had me. And then I started to think, because I was a teenager at the time, and I thought, well, you know what? The only way that I could see to have something literally take a quantum leap, and I didn't know the word quantum at that age, but I knew it had to be that type of a complete leap, something very, very different from what was going on right now, is a shift in consciousness. And that started my own journey, is that I realized at that age that I don't know how I came into life, this incarnation, knowing this about at some deep level, that I could evolve myself and that I should evolve myself consciously, because the one thing that I knew I could contribute was my own state, because I realized that we're always emanating energy, spirit, intelligence, all of the above, and that our field is always exchanging with everyone else we encounter and everything in life reverberating. And so that it was really a responsibility, in a very, you know, happy responsibility, for me to have myself be the best that I can be. But I knew that my...
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I knew that there was a mission that I put myself on, which I'm sure divine intelligence put me on, to create something that would awaken consciousness, awaken thinking beyond the automatic conditioned state that we find ourselves in.
Now, you make a comment in your book, and your book is titled, Do You Quantum Think? And that in and of itself is a stimulus for someone to perhaps wonder what is quantum thinking. And what you bring forth in your book, in my having gone through it, are a number of different points that are, in truth, nothing new. But it is understanding in them that the wisdom, regardless of your generation, is something that you do have to awaken to. Wisdom and insight is not something where you just add water and mix. You have to be mindfully present. You have to be awake. In fact, your very first section of your book is titled, Wake Up. And I think that that is important. And that's what's happening with a lot of individuals. And it's causing so many times confusion, which I really don't think is new. I think we're just moving at such a rapid pace in today's environment. The time factor, as we know it, has sped up in so many levels of life. And people are saying, I want to know more about this. I'm not comfortable with what is, as I perceive it as being. And they realize that they can make a difference, but they are frustrated because they don't quite know how to fit in their own skin, if you will. And I think that's one of the aspects that your book addresses. And you have a sentence in your book that you're not really trying to tell people what they should do, what they should be, or how the world should be according to Diane. That's not it. That's not it. You want them to wake up to their own awareness, their own strength. And that is what I think can be so empowering about the information you have in your book, because we are all evolving. This is something that we're doing. I like your statement, we're a new culture of wake-ups, and I think that this is really, really cool. What enables a person to create their life, Diane? You talk about life being like a story. What is it that enables us to create?
I'd like to just respond to a little bit of, you know, you said highlighted so many great points there, Donna, and I just want to say a little bit about that, and then we'll look at what creates. That the purpose of the book, it's true, everything is accelerating, there's increasing complexity because of our wonderful technologies, and then we have this shift that's going on, many think of as the great shift, so we have this a time where the systems and structures are being kind of broken up at their core so that we can go to this next place of awareness, of consciousness, of connection, of unity, and of really, you know, the noblest kind of living. And so it's affecting each one of us individually. The purpose of Do You Quantum Think is for each one, as you quoted from me, that it's not, this isn't my story. This is our story. It's not about me telling you something you don't already know, as you said, Donna, nothing new, at some level of your being. The intent and purpose of this book is to presence it. I call it the art of distinguishing, bringing something into your awareness in such a way that it creates a transformation, a new relationship with it, a heightened awareness with it. So the intent is for you, the reader, to connect to your own awareness, to your own awakening, and that it happens as you read. So it's kind of like I'm that, you know, like just guiding it. Because I was tapped on the shoulder and said, get this out. You know, as I say, I didn't choose Quantum Think. It chose me. And so the idea of it is to put it all together. And part two is called Live the Wisdom. And you and I had spoken a little about this, that, you know, you could know everything there is to know about subtle energy fields, psychic ability, you know, the faculties of mind, as I call them, and all the information, spiritual connection, ascension, however you relate to it, you could know everything, all the new brain discoveries. But if you cannot live it, and I know this is the point you're making, if you cannot integrate it, be a walking, talking embodiment, that's where we keep in place that disconnection. So it's all about now living the wisdom, going from knowing the wisdom, from teaching the wisdom, from espousing the wisdom, to actually living it. And this is what this work is all about. This is what we're here for.
I have one of your stories in your book that I just loved. I absolutely loved it. It was a story about you, and you were talking about how you were very frustrated because you wanted to write romance novels and it wasn't working for you. And a relative of yours, you turned to them and said, you know what, this isn't working. I'm stuck. I just don't know what's wrong. I can't seem to do what I want to do. I'm going to call up Isaac Bathsheba Singer and ask him what to do. And your cousin just went into hysterical laughter. She just absolutely was doubled over, apparently. She thought that was the funniest thing she'd ever heard.
Calling up a Nobel Prize laureate literature and thinking, oh, let me just ask him.
And what I loved was his response. He said, in order to write junk, you got to have a junky soul. And I just, that little bit of wisdom, I was laughing when I read the entire story in your book. I just laughed because I thought, that is how simple it is. And your comment was, you can only do what is true to you. I think that is such powerful wisdom, because so many times we're trying to copy other people, and which is normal. It's natural. We look out in the world and we say, gee, do I want to be like that? Do I want to be like that? And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But for his words to finally get through to you, you're not junk. This is what you love to write. You are of a different genre. And that just woke you up.
Completely woke me up. And it was, you know, and I have to say in his favor, as I say in the book, that he did say, you know, he's not saying romance novel is junk, but, you know, he was, if you know anything about Isaac Bathsheba Singer, you know, he did use this shock value in his writing. So he said that to me. He was 82 years old, the most adorable, you know, man. Anyway, yes, so that is really why it's so important. Now, we're going to this new place for humanity, for the world, for ourselves. So this is why it becomes essential to be able to be that culture of wake-ups, to be able to notice your own conditioned habits. And I do want to go back to that question that you asked, Donna, about, you know, well, how do we create reality? Because that has to do with my discovery. But you see, it's urgent now for all of us that we become so refined and sensitive and aware and awake in our own selves, in our own awareness, because each one of us is needed. The gifts that we were born with, so that did get me on the track. It was like saying, mm-hmm. don't try mm-hmm. to do this, but that's not you, as you're pointing out, Donna. So when we have that awakened awareness, we connect to our higher self. We connect to infinite intelligence. We receive the messages. Now, you know this as a psychic and intuitive with highly developed gifts. So each one of us can learn to tap into that as a natural way of being. And when we do, then we attract those opportunities, even when we're off track, as I was, and called up like in a delirious state, you know, this Nobel laureate. But it will, you know, what drove me to that is that there was something not working. So when you're aware and awake of yourself, you will connect to those specialized gifts, talents, experiences that you were born with that you're here to give the world. That's the distinction in, I was going to say, the second part of my book, Live the Wisdom, is the actual quantum thing system of thinking. I call it 21 plus 1 principles and practices for the mind and awareness, where you put all this together and you're literally leaping to this new paradigm, to the reality. So rather than looking at this expanded, more accurate worldview that is universal wisdom in every tradition, now being verified by quantum science and made practical in everyday life, that when, instead of looking from what I call the old world view that we've all been conditioned by, that was my revelation. What creates reality? We know, right? As you say, everything begins in thought, and I learned that too. You know, as you think, so you become. Thought creates reality. And I thought, well, if all you have to do is change your thought to change the world or my life, why does it still look like it does? And that's where
good question. Very good question, because that is what we see with our eyes. And I think you've made a very good question there, that people that are listening to the show right now are saying, yes, that is what I say. I try to be such a good person. I do my meditation. I do this. I do that. I do the other. Then I turn on the news and I go, oh, clump. It's still the same clump that it was yesterday.
That's right. And it can be that
really
same.
It's frustrating.
It can be that in ourselves, too. And so what I call my revelation is that I realized that, like everything in the universe, it's a universe of systems. You know, everything, even in outer reality, the traffic is a system, the grocery store is a system that keeps us in its vortex. So what I realized is that our thinking is a system, and it's based on the prevailing beliefs, ideas, views of how, you know, how things work around here on the planet, the version of reality that the physicists give us. So here's our dilemma today, Donna, is that we're in a quantum world. We have all this information, and as you say, people are awakening awareness, getting more spiritually connected, learning about subtle energy and how to work with it, and the non-local mind field of intelligence and connection. And yet, we're still, even, you know, those of us who are aware of that, as a culture, we're very much conditioned by the industrial age worldview, which said, and you pointed out what you see with your eyes, only, this is what the scientists declared, only physical matter is real. If you want to get something, you know, they perceived objects as solid and fixed, which we know they're not from a quantum perspective. Nothing is solid and fixed. Everything is energy in flux, informed by intelligence, and we're connected to it through the power of our own attention and observation. What we hold in mind, we're always shaping what we see. So our whole culture is shaped by the ordinary physical five senses. Hence, you look, the divisiveness, right, in politics, in ethnicity. You look different than me. We look different than objects. And so what I am doing is saying, well, how did that map on to our thinking? So we've got automatic habits, and I say in the very beginning of my book, aren't we ready for a new spin on this? You know, what if there's nothing wrong with us? What if we could just look at it as we have conditioned patterns of thinking, conditioned that are vestiges of this old world industrial age view, which was called literally the classical mechanical worldview. And so when we look at a world, you know, how does this show up? Well, we're not even thinking it, Donna. It's just, it's kind of, we're in the vortex of it. I like to think of it that way these days.
Well, I think it depends on the individual, too. I mean, everybody's got their own
right.
little
we're
world
in and out of
live
it.
In.
Like the people who are listening to your show, you know, we're more aware. But when I talk about refining this now, is that you can take a whole system leap. So you're not trading in one system for the old one. The old system taught us, you know, categorize, analyze, and all that using ordinary logic. Now, how do you think for a world that is literally functioning beyond time? When our automatic conditioning and the chronological time we live in, measured time, you know, put, it's like an arbitrary, not exactly arbitrary, use according to nature, cycles, but somewhat arbitrary concepts of time. So until we learn, you know, that's what's mapped on as an automatic pattern in our thinking. Go step by step to get something done. That's called linear. Where we know if you, when you become masterful with your quantum mind, you can generate consciously quantum effects. And it's not like just a once in a while, Donna. You know, it's like, oh, wow, that was great. I had a wonderful intuition, or I had a psychic, you know, knowing, or, you know, not a once in a while, but as a way of life. And so what I'm saying is that when you can distinguish how the old world view limits our patterns of thinking and how we can condition ourselves from this new world view of the quantum, expanded, more accurate and up-to-date reality, we don't have to get stressed out by chronological time. We can start to really connect in through the infinite intelligence, it's called non-local mind field, as a way of life. We can use all these principles, learn how to work with our energy, learn how to work with the state of meditation, which I consider a faculty of mind, just not just a practice.
Diane, one of the things I would like to bring in is a wonderful story that you have about the Dalai Lama in your book. And it was a story about how he was visiting with a group of physicians at a university medical school, and they were talking about the brain and stated that thoughts and feelings were the result of different chemical reactions and changes in the brain. And he asked them a question. He said, is it possible to conceive the reverse sequence where the thought gives the rise to the sequence of chemical events rather than the other way around? And he was surprised at their response because their answer to him was that they start from the premise that all thoughts are product of functions of the chemical reactions in the brain. But what he really saw, what he really became aware of, is that they were not willing to challenge their own thinking. And how many times do we as individuals realize that we have to challenge our own thinking? We need to ask ourselves why it is that we have certain attitudes. Where did they come from? And someone might say, well, gee, you're trying to play psychiatrist, but it's more than that. We need to understand that within the depth of ourselves, you mentioned the word conditioning earlier, that is very true. And we've all got it. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are on this planet. We are all conditioned and programmed as we grow up. So it's up to us. It's part of what becoming an adult is. Recognizing, number one, you do have choice. Number two, that you are responsible for your actions and for the way that you use your mind. And number three, that there are different options available, and if the people around you cannot see that there are those options, you need to be unafraid of reaching out to explore. And you have the choice to say yes to the exploration or no to the exploration. And that is what I feel real freedom, wisdom, and insight represents.
Absolutely. So beautifully said. And I do. I put that story in because that really shows the old world view of our scientists, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
they think everything, that's the big, you know, the big paradigm shift the main feature of it is going is that science used to think it's a matter-based reality, right? So they think thought comes from the brain. And now the quantum shift is it's a consciousness-based reality. It's a mind-based reality. So the brain is just the transmitter-receiver. But you know what I think is interesting question, Donna, that I wanted to talk to you about? Is this really tells the story of why, because I heard you on a show talking about how, you know, how you discovered yourself and your own psychic ability, that path that you took. And then, you know, people talk about, well, you know, I'm into this thing, but, you know, I can't really talk about it in ordinary society, mm-hmm. or people look askance. But, you know, and you were saying, but everybody is really everyone recognizes it. It's like, you know, the cosmic joke. But what I'm saying is that this explains, because we're conditioned, as you say, program, it's not even personal. It's a cultural thing. Because we're conditioned by a worldview that said only the physical is real, of course, what do we learn in school? We learn about the brain. That's a physical or somewhat electrical. But now when we can make this leap in the culture, well, psychics who are, you know, and I have a lot of very good friends. One of my great, great mentors is a psychic. She's in her 80s now, wonderful woman, Iris Salzman. And so it's like that would become normal. And this is really, I feel, our an aspect of my mission is that this can explain it. Oh, well, if mm-hmm. the world could start quantum thinking, that is learning that it's normal and natural and advisable, especially in this speeded up
Absolutely.
Reality that we're in, right, this world, and advisable to learn to use that intuitive psychic facility that we are all born with, that this is natural. There's nothing alternative or spooky about it. What do you
mm-hmm.
think about that?
I agree. Before we close out, I want to share a delightful story. And by the way, for those of you listening, do you quantum think? Well, why not challenge yourself? Diane Collins is my guest. This is a part of the excerpt from her book. It is a book I'd want you to have a highlighter with. I'd want you to mark your book. I'd want you to make your notes in the book, because I think it's very important to be present when you're reading material. And that's what I do anyway. And, of course, you all know that listen to the show regularly. But I want to talk about your true treasure story before we close out. There was the story that you have in here about seafaring friends invited people to their home on the water to use their boats for a real live treasure hunt. Everybody went out hunting, and this is a true story. The captain of each group was given the key to open a very, very special treasure chest, but each group had to decipher and follow written clues and symbols on a map. Each one of them were given one of this. So everybody was having a great time. Your group reached the island, and you saw where this was to be, and you saw other groups gaining ground, and everybody was in such a hurry, and they were all there to get to the treasure. Competition was fierce. Everybody was having a good time. Finally, all of the treasure chest was lifted out. It was very, very heavy. And when the lock was in clear view, everyone started laughing because it took the key from all seven of the groups. Each of the groups had been given a key to the treasure chest. There was a seven-keyed lock here. And the lesson was it was going to take each and every one of them to reveal the precious treasure that was in. Now, you don't tell what the treasure was. So, anyway, folks, you're going to have to read the book. Diane,
yeah.
Your book
and that's
is
really
filled
the
with,
way it is.
Yes, the book is filled with a lot of wisdom. I know we're just about out of time here. Your website is DianeCollins.com. That's Diane with two N's, CollinS.com. And you've done a really, really fine job with this book. And as I would say to my listeners, use a marker. Use the book. It is something that will open your thinking and your mind to levels of understanding that you perhaps already have that have been afraid to acknowledge. It's really a very, very wonderful publication. And Diane, it's been wonderful having you as a guest today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be with you, Donna. Appreciate it very much.
It's been my pleasure. Do you quantum think? Check the book out. Go to her website.
We all Diane do, Collins. So let's get with it, right?
DianeCollins.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. I'm delighted to share some information with you today, especially if you would like to have a reading with me. I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need is your first name or your initial, and then after that, well, just sit back, relax, and I'll give you the information that I feel is relevant to whatever's going on in your life, and even welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Diet is very, very important. We will constantly hear all kinds of statements made, and I'm going to share a little bit of health news with you because I think that we need to be more mindfully present about our own physical wellness, and it does make a difference. I have a very good friend who's got a very sensitive system to many, many foods, anything that has chemicals in it, et cetera. she just has all kinds of challenges with. Well, I've got more of a heartier system, but we're different, and that's what we need to remember. We each have to pay attention to ourselves. And if you have certain patternings, perhaps genetically, that have been in your family, you need to be aware of this. And that happened with someone that is very close to me. They have, in their family patterning, and I learned about this just about a year ago, and that is that there was a patterning towards particular heart patterns. Now, this individual came from a very, very large family, but basically for most of their life, they ignored what they needed to pay attention to. Part of it was because of ignorance, and part of it was because of stubbornness. Well, in today's world, you really do need to pay attention. You don't need a government to tell you what to do. What you need to do is be responsible for yourself. Now, this is a story that I heard about. It was at a Las Vegas eatery where the diners, when they come in, this is the special effects that you have when you go in there. They have you put on hospital gowns, and the menu offers what they call bypass burgers and flatliner fries. Now, a person went into the restaurant and ended up having a heart attack while they were eating at the Heart Attack Grill. That's the name of the business. Well, when this was reported, everybody thought, oh, ho, 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 this is just fun and games. But it really wasn't. The owner was interviewed on CBS News and stated that many restaurants serve unhealthy food. According to definition, it's unhealthy. And could eating one triple bypass burger really cause a heart attack? Now, I have no idea what the triple bypass burger is, but I would imagine it's super humongous. And there was a physician who is the director at Yale University who is very much involved in prevention research, promoting positive health attitudes. His name is David Katz. He said, because of acute effects on blood flow, one very unhealthful meal can precipitate a heart attack in someone with coronary disease. In this case, the patient did survive, but so did the restaurant's tongue-in-cheek marketing. It's supposed to be funny that they serve heart attack food, but when you or someone else you love has a heart attack, it's really not very funny, and that is true. It's not a funny situation. But lots of times when people have these conditions occur in their body, it's not just having to do with the food. Remember, they're making a choice. If they're going to sit there and eat something that's absolutely humongous, it's going to put a tremendous stress on the body because the digestive system has to work overtime. Your kidneys are overloaded, your liver is overloaded, and if you're carrying a lot of extra weight around, that is going to compound it tremendously. So the effect of being obese, being extremely overweight, it's so handicapping. And I think of the young man that was associated with Subway. I'm sure all of you listening will remember this, that he was just huge. He was absolutely huge. He was a college student. And he made up his mind that he was going to do something, because for him just to walk a few hundred feet, he was so obese. His heart was working overtime. His whole body was in agony. So he decided he would go to Subway. He didn't cook. He was in a dorm. He just didn't want to do very much of anything. Well, when you're that big, why should you? I mean, you can't. It's very difficult. Your arms, your legs, your body. I mean, everything is hard to move. So he decided to walk down to Subway. That was his exercise, walking to the Subway restaurant, and he restricted himself to 3 subs a day. And each time he went to get one, he had to walk to get it. And his weight loss program, he wasn't eating unhealthy foods. He was eating fresh food. The Subway has very good food there. It was all freshly prepared, and he walked back to the dorm. And weight started coming off of him. There was caloric restrictions. He wasn't eating 2 tons of Oreos or whatever, but he was eating, but he was moving too. So it was a combination of the two. And he was their spokesperson for a lot of years, and I thought, what a positive image. His story was really, really significant. And it's the same with any of us. We have to remember, all of us, that what we put in our mouths is going to affect our body. And sometimes, as you get older, you find that the acidic level in your stomach is not working as efficiently as it should. Why? Because there's that process as we get older, the enzymes need to be supplemented. So we need to realize we have to get our sleep, we have to take care of ourselves, eat well, and we're not talking about someone that's 10 or 15 pounds overweight. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that are really, really heavy. With kids, you'll find they're going to lose weight as soon as they start moving. There's not a big science to this, and there's no magic bullet. But good health is a level of personal responsibility, so I wanted to share that with you. Nobody is forcing these people to go in to this place. Now, most people are not going to go in every single day of the week and have one of these huge bypass burgers or flatliner fries. If they did, they're not going to be able to get out the front door after a while. Once in a while for something is fine. But the reality is we have to pay attention, and that is very, very significant. I wanted to share some other information with you. So much of this is not a big surprise to me because I learned about this years ago from people that were implementing this. One is eat sugar, act sweeter. Now, this is from the University of Kentucky. There were researchers that found that people who drank a glass of sugar-sweetened lemonade acted less aggressively than people who had the same drink with a sugar substitute. Self-control takes a lot of energy, and the glucose may help give your brain the fuel it needs to hold back hostility and be more positive. But instead of binging on sweets, you got to stick to a balanced diet to avoid blood sugar spikes and tips. Something that people ignore, and that is diabetics have been told forever, you always carry candy with you, something, piece of hard candy, you always carry sugar with you. Because if your blood sugar dips really, really bad, and you this can happen with diabetics, hypoglycemics, have a little bit of sugar. Bingo, you get into balance. The biggest thing is to have the sugar. It goes right into the brain, and the brain says, ah, I'm getting the energy I need. And it is an amazing thing. Do you know sugar is also a healer? That if people get a cut and you put sugar on it, even if you're diabetic, it's an old country technique. You go and you put the sugar on that cut. If you're diabetic, it will heal faster. Sugar plays a very important part of the body. It's when you overdo the sugar that you're going to have some problems. And smellier food helps you to slim down. Why? When it really is a fragrant food, people seem to take smaller portions. And obviously with that, you're consuming less food. Flavorful food is more satisfying. It is really, really something that satisfies you. So good food, and by the way, I've got a good recipe for barbecue. We're coming into those warm summer months here in the Pacific Northwest. We have been enjoying some fabulous weather. And so what happens? Yes, that's right. The barbecues come out. The ladies say, woohoo, I don't have to heat up my kitchen. It is wonderful. And barbecue food is so very, very good. So I've got something I'm going to share with you about that. And again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. I'm going to share with you a story about some military people and what they're going through. You know, we have Memorial Day that's going to be coming up at the end of this month. And, of course, that is recognizing and appreciating those people that have dedicated themselves to making our world and our place of life a better one to live in. And so many of them are coming home now. And these are people, many of them, that are so well-trained. They are extremely skilled in their background experience, and they're trying to find a place in the working world. So I'm going to share some stories with you. But before I do that, I want to talk about some safety strategies that can enable you to feel more comfortable in your homes. Here in the Seattle area, we have had some interesting situations, some of them pretty sad situations, where people's homes have been broken into and they just have not taken any steps to be alert and aware, some of these individuals, that you have to pay attention to what's going on. Anytime you have tremendous accumulations of people in tight areas, that's what happens. And you're always going to have, at one point or another, those people that may want to invade your space. So this is some information that was passed along by people that really, really want you to be aware that there are things that you can do to protect yourself. They say if you have valuables in your child's top drawer rather than in your nightstand, they may not end up being taken because thieves often scour the master bedroom but tend to leave children's rooms untouched. And if your front entrance contains decorative glass, install your security keypad in a spot that's not visible from the doorstep. That way, burglars won't be able to peer in and see if the alarm is set. And there have also been statistics where if they know that you've got a burglar alarm, they're less likely to bother you because there are so many places that don't have them. They may not want to invade. And I had a very dear friend that's what happened to her. And they broke into her house, they smashed the windows, smashed the doors, got in, and went through her house. And she was just devastated when she came home. But she did not have an alarm system. Now she does. And she probably will never be attacked again. But in her neighborhood, it was done by young people that had canvassed the neighborhood. It's really an interesting phenomenon. They will do this. They'll find out what your routines are and that type of thing. Also, if a nail slot goes against the wood grain, weakening the horizontal integrity of a door, it makes it easier to kick it in. Now, I don't know of many people that have slots for their mail in their doors, at least not around our neighborhood. So you need a mailbox or install a slot near the bottom of the front door, no higher than a quarter of the way up. In our part of the world, you have your mailboxes out on the street. And just recently, we had people that were trying to get into those. So there was a big warning that was going out with all of the neighbors. We have neighborhood watch. And so they say, be alert. Put a lock on your mailbox, or better yet, get yourself a post office box where all of your mail goes into that post office box. You get junk mail in the mailbox, no big deal. You want all of your bills and everything to go into the P.O. box. Well, those are just a few tips. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll share a few stories with you about some experiences of the military. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Quickly, I wanted to share a super good barbecue recipe with you. I know that it's just that time of the year, but I love barbecue. What about you? I love flavorful barbecue. I've been in some restaurants when you get it, it's just like something that's been overcooked, no flavor in the meat. Slather on the sauce, and you go, that's barbecue? No. Barbecue is flavorful. The meat is flavorful all the way through. So I've got a recipe here for a beef brisket, and this is yum. I mean, it's really, really good. Now, you need a rub. Now, here's the recipe for the rub, and this comes from Stefan Eichhorn, Stefan Marquardt, and Stefan Otto. Three Stefans, yes. Isn't that cool? These guys really know their stuff. Now, this is the rub. You need 5 tablespoons of brown sugar, 5 tablespoons of paprika. So 5 tablespoons each of brown sugar and paprika. And brown sugar makes a difference. So don't use any other sugar. Use the brown sugar. A tablespoon each of cayenne pepper, garlic powder, onion salt. A tablespoon each of cayenne pepper, garlic powder, and onion salt. 2 tablespoons of black pepper, and you want to grind that fresh. So just have a blast, getting it freshly ground. A tablespoon each of sea salt, ginger powder, and ground coriander. That's a tablespoon each of sea salt, ginger powder, ground coriander. Now, just doesn't take anything but like 3 seconds. You just mix that all up. Now, you're going to have a glaze that you're going to want for the meat. Now, this is the glaze. You're going to need 4 cups of apple juice or apple cider. If you have a juicer, make your own fresh apple juice. Delicious. 4 cups of your apple juice. You're going to need a tablespoon of your brown sugar, tablespoon of brown sugar, 1 onion, and you want to cut it into thin rings. Don't dice it. You cut it into thin rings. And then you need 2 tablespoons of paprika. Now, you put this in a saucepan, and you want to bring it to a boil. There you go. You got your spices for your rub, and you got your glaze all ready to go. Now, this is what you do. The rub, you take a nice-sized beef brisket, weight maybe 3-4 pounds, and what you want to do is you want to rub the brisket thoroughly. You just, with all of the seasonings, you want that rub, you just want to cover the meat with the rub, and then you want to take and put it perhaps in a plastic bag. If you don't want to put it in plastic, then what you do is put it in like a ceramic bowl or a glass bowl, cover it with saran wrap, and put it in the refrigerator. You can put it in for anywhere from 12 to 24 hours. So this is something, if you're going to have a nice crowd of people and you want to fix up a couple of these, just double your seasoning batch and cover your meat well, put it in the refrigerator, and just let that marinade do its magic. Now, you need to take it out of the refrigerator at least 3 hours before you put it on the grill or you smoke it, because it needs to reach room temperature. You don't want the meat put in the smoker or on the grill until it is at room temperature. Now, if the meat has only a temperature of 50 degrees Fahrenheit, the cooking time will be 2 hours longer. That's right, 2 hours longer. So you can smoke your brisket at a low temperature between 215 and 250 degrees until it reaches an inner temperature of at least 195 degrees. And then you, at that time, brush your brisket for the first time with the glaze after about 5 hours. So this is something that really cooks very slowly. And you repeat the process every 30 minutes until it has this wonderful crust on it. And then when the inner temperature reaches at least 195 degrees, you take the meat from the smoker, wrap it in aluminum foil, and let it stand for 20 minutes, and that's going to allow all of these wonderful flavorings and juices of the meat to just stay right within it. And your cooking time can range anywhere from 12 to 15 hours. Now, I knew a guy that did this. He had a smoker that he had designed out of a drum. He took an old oil drum, thoroughly cleaned it, and built this grill. And when I saw it, I was astonished, and he set it up so that he could smoke his meat, and he would start early in the morning, and by the time company came, then it was absolutely marvelous. I mean, the flavor throughout the meat was incredible. But remember, you put it in, and you let it just do the magic, let the smoke of the from your fragrant woods. Some people like to use mesquite. Other people like to use some other types of woods, and it just is amazing. There's a marvelous, marvelous grill in Austin, Texas. I heard so many things about it, and oh, it was everything that they talked about. And they started cooking the meat at 3 o'clock in the morning, and their cookers, I don't know how old they were, but they were rotating, and they would do chicken, they'd do pork, they'd do beef, lamb. It was amazingly delicious, and the meat was so flavorful and tender, it just melted in your mouth. Absolutely incredible. So I wanted to share that recipe with you. My goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a mind that you can utilize to make your life magical. Be mindful, be alert, be aware, enjoy your life, enjoy the wonderful magic that's around you, because it is a magic that you can be a part of creating, and let that magic just ripple out to everything and everyone that crosses your path. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the Life Quick Phenomena with Dr. Tony Gallard. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.